Glad you're here. We are a family that loves Jesus Christ, loves His Word, and we come together just to worship together, to listen to the Word together, and just let the Lord do what He wants to do in our heart, right, together as a congregation in unity. So if you're here today, huge welcome. You're not a visitor. We don't believe in visitors. As I said before, for me, a visitor shows up at my door trying to sell me something, and I don't usually answer the door. However, a guest, when they show up, the door is always wide open. So you're our guest today. If you would like to, this is up to you, but in your seat, you'll find a blue card. Looks like this. Fill that out and take this to the back to see Pastor Steve. Wave your hand. He'll be over there at the table. You take that to him. He has a gift for you. Just want to say welcome. And if you have any questions about the church, there is a brochure back there that says Welcome to Life Church. You can grab one of those. You can grab a gift. Ask any questions you want to know about the church, and if you want to follow up, that's wonderful. So if you could do that, that would be great. Amen. A lot of great things that are going on. The new year has kicked in. The weather outside yesterday was fantastic. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
No omies. It was awesome. But I can't stand being teased like that because I know. I've been here long enough to know that this is not going to last, that we're going to get something else is going to happen. And I'll find myself standing at the window drinking my coffee, wondering again, why in the world did I move to New England? However, this is not good, by the way. Right close to my hometown where I grew up, there's two tornadoes came through in 2 weeks. So, I mean, it's one or the other, right? This is the world. So, a lot of great things that are happening. We have our couples dinner. It's going to be February 10th. If you haven't signed up for that, please sign up. I think next week we're going to have a funny little video kind of explaining what's going to happen. So every year around February, around Valentine's, that sort of weekend, we just have a great dinner. So there'll be a dinner. It'll be at the Point Breeze in their hall there. This year we're catering everything. So yes, a little more expensive this year, guys. It's $40 a couple instead of the last year. I think it was $25. Like, why in the world? Don't complain, guys. Listen, don't ever complain about how much money you need to spend on your wife when you take her out to eat, okay? Don't do that. Just write the check, put a big smile on your face, because that's a pretty cheap date. Let me tell you right now, there's going to be entertainment. There's going to be games and fun. We're going to fellowship. We're going to eat. We're just going to have a good time together as couples in the Lord. So if you haven't signed up, sign up in the back. And Maria told me, she's got the thing here, she says, make sure you pay her. Now listen, let me tell you something about my wife. When she comes and she says, pay, you better pay. Because she knows a guy, and she will hunt you down. I'm joking. I'm not joking, but for you, I'm joking, not for me. Yeah. Also, just one other thing real quick. I know it's a little early, but our men's camping trip, where's Rob? Rob, stand up, Rob. Wave. Right? So Rob is kind of oversees our men's ministry. So guys, remember last year in June we went camping. We have an extra spot this year. We increased our spot. So if you're interested, there's some information in the bulletin about the date, the time, the cost for that as well, where it's at. And I think there's Rob, is there a sign up? Thank you. Awesome. Yeah. So that's in June. The $25 covers the cost of all the food. And let me tell you something. We like to eat. We guys know how to eat over the fire. If you look at me, you know I know how to eat. I've got that part of life figured out. So, amen. Let's play that video. Let's watch this video real quick, and then I'll be right back up. Was that a good video? Did y'all like that? Hunter, stand up, Hunter. He made that video. Awesome job. Great job. So how many of you are actually part of a life group? See, not many hands, but let me tell you something about life groups. That's where it's happening. That's where you're growing in relationship, intimacy, and in your relationship in the Word. There's a place where you can get together and talk about life, kind of do life together, build relationships, have a team of people that are always going to be praying for you. So life groups is part of Life Church. It's kind of what we do between Monday and Saturday. So if you're interested in being part of a life group, or maybe you want to host a life group, some of them meet at home, some of them meet here. Or if say, hey, I want to start a life group. Well, if your first step to do that is to talk to Rob. There he goes. Rob oversees all of our life groups as well. He's taking off now. See him, get more information about it. Again, fill out a Connect card, and there's more information there as well. And I really encourage you to be part of it. It's an awesome time. Amen? Where's Pat? Pat. So Pat's going in for surgery on her knee this week. So if you would, just lift your hands toward her. Let's just pray for her right now and believe that God. George, why don't you just come over and some of the ladies just lay hands on her there as we pray right now. Father, we believe. Lord, even if we're studying in our faith, God, what we believe in, part of what we believe is a God that never changes. And we have seen with our eyes and we have experienced in our lives that you heal the body. And we pray right now with a great measure of faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died upon that cross. We believe by the power of the Holy Spirit that her knee will be healed in Jesus' name. And as she goes in this week to have the surgery, Lord, and to have whatever is going on, we're praying for a miracle, right, Father, in Jesus' name. And we pray, Lord, that the doctor's hands will be guided by the Holy Spirit. And we believe that in Jesus' name. Let's say it together.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All right. So everyone doing well this morning? That's wonderful. So we're in the middle of a sermon series entitled Belief. As it says here, what do we believe in? Those, what do we believe? And this is in an effort as we are into our third year as a church. And if you want to know more history about Life Church. We are a young church, a Bible-believing church who's part of the Assemblies of God. We believe in the full testament of the gospel. And part of being a church is that we have a membership. In other words, we belong. You belong to a family. As a church, you belong to the local body. And it's important that we belong and make a covenant with the local body, first of all, for spiritual growth, for accountability, for relationship, and understanding that we belong of something that's bigger than ourselves. So one of the things we're doing this year is we have to have a church membership in order to file our charter for a general council church with the Assemblies of God. So the purpose of this teaching is really for us to find out what are the non-negotiables of our faith. What do we believe? Why do we believe it? And can you answer any questions and defend what you believe? And as we study this, I just want us to really grasp in our hearts and understand this is what I believe. And I pray that as a follower of Jesus Christ, you have an opportunity to share your faith with someone else. The very calling that every single one of us have in our life. Some of us are called to shepherd, to lead, teach, evangelize. But every single one who is here today, the call upon your life is to go and make disciples. That's what we're supposed to do. You cannot make a disciple if you don't know what you believe. Amen? That was weak. So this is what we studied so far. 2 weeks ago, we talked about God. We looked at the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and those were documents that were drafted out for the local church to establish a fundamental truth of what the churches believed. And it talks about God. We studied it, said God is almighty. Do you believe that? He's an almighty God, but he's also a father. He's not way off somewhere doing his thing, leaving you to do your thing. He is here with us. And we talked about Jesus Christ, who he was, where he came from. He always was. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus Christ. The Word was with him, was with God, and the Word was God. He was begotten, not made. He always was. And he always was and always will be and walked upon this earth. He wants to be in the middle of all of our messiness. All the messiness of our life. And let me tell you something, as I look around right now, some of us have some really messy lives, all right? No, I'm not talking about us. We're good. We're good, babe. All right, I'm going to walk over here next time. Well, I do have a messy life. And Jesus Christ wants to be right in the middle of that messy life. Do you believe that? So today we're going to continue looking, because I think it's important for us to understand that in our faith, we should not get swept away, as Timothy talks about, that there will be false doctrine and false teachings that will happen, and people will flock to those and come to it to because they have the itchy ears of wanting to hear something they want to hear. How many of you know someone in your life? I know some family members that will search out someone to share a problem with until they hear what they want to hear. Many of us, that's me, all right? That's been me. I'll search out somebody. When you talk to me, tell me what I want to hear, then that's it. That's the truth. But across America, in the churches today, we're being swept away. And just because something sounds good, now listen to me this morning, all right? I want you to get this in your heart, because this is the premise of these questions that we're going to answer today. Just because something sounds good doesn't mean it is of God. There is a movement going across our nation now where people think, well, this is good, therefore it must be good for me. Doesn't mean it's of God. There are rules and laws on the books in our nation that are not of God. And the way we change them is through prayer. The question then is, can we really discern between popularity and sound doctrine? Well, I read in Titus here. Look at what Paul says to Titus, and the message title today is, he is seated at the right hand of the Father. Have we not already heard that this morning? Have we not heard that come through our worship, heard that come through our prayers, heard that come through the word that was given today? Listen, we are a New Testament church. We believe that the gifts and the workings of the Holy Spirit still operate in the church today. What does that mean? That means there will be tongues and interpretations. That means God will come to us and speak a word to us in tongues, and then it will be interpreted. That means God has a word for you. Don't judge the messenger, right? Judge the word. Allow God to speak to your heart. We believe in healing. We believe that God still heals the sick today. He sets the captives free. Those things did not end and did not stop with the apostles, because that means God must have changed his mind. And look here what Titus in chapter 2, he says, but for you, this is for us now, for all of us, especially for me, teach what accords with what? Sound doctrine. Now, I want you to know I'm a fun guy, all right? Some of you know I'm a fun guy. I like to have fun. I'm very relational. Life Church is a fun church. We are going to have tons of fun. We are going to have fun on a Sunday morning, Joseph. Lots of fun, right? We're going to shout. We're going to tell some jokes. We're going to have a lot of fun. But let me tell you something. In the midst of that fun, we are going to teach sound biblical doctrine. What does God's word say to me, and how can I change my life to align myself with God's word? Here's why. Because we are called as followers of Christ to live out the truth. We're called to be ambassadors of Jesus. We're called to be salt and light in this earth. We're called to be faithful witnesses of the resurrection. And today we're going to talk a little bit about that. So put this next slide up here. This is from the Nicene Creed. And I want us to read this out together. Can we read this together? Because we're going to look at this today. This is the non-negotiables of our faith. Let's read this together. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he came incarnate from the Virgin Mary. He was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. And on the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Can you say amen? Amen. Father, I pray today that as we study your word, Lord, I pray that it would fall upon hearts ready to receive. And I pray, Father, that as I open my mouth, Holy Spirit, speak. As we ask these questions today, help us to find the truth that is in your word. And we pray that in Jesus' name. And what we just confessed is central. Listen, church, it is central to everything that we believe as a follower of Jesus Christ. What's on that screen you see right now? That is the non-negotiable of our faith. Get it into your heart. Read it out. Quote it. Whatever you have to do, get it into your heart. Today, we're going to look at this, and I want to ask three questions. Three questions I don't think has been talked about or asked enough on Sunday mornings. And I will look at God's word and begin to answer these questions. And here's the very first question. Question number one, why is the virgin birth so important? If I were to ask you today, do you believe in the virgin birth? How many of us would raise our hands, right? We are the minority in the church. Believe it or not, in the church in America today, there's a movement that does not believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. So let me just, here's why. Let me explain it to you in this way. Okay? You're a father, all right? You have a daughter. She's about 15 or 16 years old. And one day she comes to you out of the blue and she says, Dad, I just had a dream. And I believe an angel came to me. Now this young girl, right, put yourself back at that time, maybe 17, is betrothed. In other words, she has a boyfriend or a fiance, okay? Just think about it. Put yourself in this place. And she comes to you and says, an angel came to me and spoke to me in a dream. And he said that I was going to be the one that's going to bring forth the Messiah. Now in the Jewish history, they have been waiting for the Messiah for so long. And many of their minds had wrapped around the idea of how he was going to come. And all of a sudden, there's this young girl telling her father, right, that he's going to come and he's going to be the Savior of the world, the Messiah. And the Holy Spirit came to me and I have conceived and I am pregnant. Exactly, right? Listen, I can hear all your thoughts. What? Where's my phone? Where's that boy? Give me that phone right now. Where's he at? You get over here right now. We got to have a conversation. All right, put yourself at that place for a moment. So it is kind of hard for us to believe something like that. And if we put ourselves in that place, we can begin to ask questions. That is what's moving across the churches in America. It could not have happened that way. So why in the world would God do it like that? Why in the world? Couldn't God have brought forth Jesus Christ, the Messiah, fully human, fully divine into the earth? He could have done it a different way, right? We live in a world where there's great movies in production. Imagine if it happened like this. We're standing out somewhere and all of a sudden the skies go dark. And a great light appears from heaven and the skies are split wide open and a great trumpet would sound. Angel begin to descend out of heaven and all of a sudden we would see there he is, the Messiah coming in glory, coming in power. The Messiah has come. Wouldn't people believe that? Right? Wouldn't you believe that then if you saw it that way? But from a 15, 16 year old virgin from the outskirts of a small town in the Roman Empire, in Jerusalem, God says, I'm going to do it like this. Even though he could have announced the Messiah in a more conventional, modern, pragmatic way that human beings, listen to these words, human beings could wrap their minds around, instead, he broke human rationale and he did something that made no human sense. God does not owe us an explanation of what he does. But we owe him all of our worship. You see, it takes a measure of faith to believe that. Does it not? Doesn't it take a measure of faith? I think sometimes we read the word and we just assume, oh, I believe that. Read it. Put yourself in that place. Because the Bible tells us, his word tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please God. His ways are higher than your ways. His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. His thoughts are higher than mine. So when you want to defend, then answer the question, why was it so important? Because God's ways are not our ways. And it takes faith to believe. And without faith, our Christianity is nothing. Great place to be quiet. You know that in that creed we just read, I just want to sort of sidetrack for a second. There were only two other people that were mentioned in that creed we just read. Who were they? Pontius Pilate and Mary. Now look at this for a second, because here are two drastic ideas, completely different systems, different responses to Jesus Christ. Do you know that Pilate looked into the eyes of the Messiah and never saw him? Stood before him, looking at the God himself, looking at God incarnate upon this earth, looked into his face, looked into his eyes, and did not know he was the Messiah. Pilate had every right by law, every right by rule to crucify Jesus Christ. It seemed good for him and his kingdom. That's the key this morning. It seemed good for him and his kingdom to crucify Jesus Christ. Now we know that needed to happen, but in his life it probably was not good. But yet here we have Mary over here. What was her response? Luke chapter 1. What was her response? Her response when the Holy Spirit and the angel came to her, she says, "Let it be unto me." Completely drastic, different views about Jesus Christ and their response when he came. Just because something is lawful doesn't mean it is godly. Just because something is good doesn't mean it is godly. Here's the second question. Question number two. Did Jesus really die? Really? I mean, we're really going to have to ask that question? Yes. Again, there is a movement moving across the churches in America that said that Jesus did not really die. So why is it so important for us to believe that Jesus Christ died a physical death? You know, Arianism, we talked about one of the heresies that crept into the church. Remember last week talked about, you know, Arian and Santa Claus? If you didn't, you need to listen to that online. That was pretty good, right? That was pretty good. But see, Arianism says that Jesus could not have been fully God and die, because God could not have gone through death. That was a teaching at the time that's beginning to sweep over our nation now, because people say, well, he really didn't die. In other words, his heart really didn't stop beating. His lungs didn't really stop breathing in the air. His brain didn't really stop functioning the way it was supposed to function. He really went into some kind of coma. Maybe the spirit came upon him and put him into some type of coma, some type of trance. That's what people are trying to rationalize. But let me tell you something. Jesus died. He ceased to breathe. His heart ceased to beat. His mind and brain ceased to operate. He was dead. And that's the truth. Now, why is that critical for us to understand that Jesus Christ died? He wasn't in a coma. But here's why. Because if he did not die a literal human death, then it is impossible for us to believe that he can be with us in every stage of life. You see, the church, many times we like to talk about, you know, the joy that we find in Jesus Christ. But let me tell you something. We need to talk a little bit more about the pain and the suffering. Because Jesus Christ, he went through pain. He suffered. We have to believe that he died, because he did, so that we know that every stage of life, through every mountaintop, every joy you go through, Jesus Christ is there. He has been there. Through every pain, sorrow, suffering, for every death, he has been there. He is with us. He has not left us. We have a high priest that will be with us in good times. He will be with us in sad times. He will be with us when we have joys of life. He understands the pains of death. He's been with us on the mountain. He'll be with us in the valley. He's with us everywhere we go. And because Jesus understands humanity at its worst, he understands death. And he's always there. Do you believe that? Psalms 139. I love this passage of scripture. The psalmist says in Psalms 139, verse 7, "Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence?" Imagine if the writer of the Psalms who wrote this knew about the resurrection. How much more concrete would these statements be? But yet there was this awareness when he wrote this that God would never leave. No matter how low or how high, he said he would never leave us. He says this, "If I ascend to heaven," he says, "you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, which is death," or which is hell, he says, "you are there." In church, that's the good news about the story of Jesus this morning. That's the good news I want you to get into your hearts. And even though there's this teaching in America today, I want you to know that in your sorrows, in death, Jesus Christ is there. Do you believe that? Here's a third question. Why is the ascension so important? You see, we talk a lot about the resurrection, especially around the springtime during the season of Easter. We do many messages and songs, and we talk about the resurrection. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is important. It's vital to our faith. He died, but yet he rose again. He went to death. He went to hell, but yet he rose back to life. There is no other prophet, no other faith, no other religion that has a Savior that went to death and was resurrected. And we believe that. I think we all believe that. But why is the ascension? Look, here's what happens in Acts chapter 1, right? So here he is, right? He is risen from the grave. And he has spent some time with disciples. And now here he is. He's outside the gates of Jerusalem. These are disciples and those around him. He's talking to them. He's giving them their charge. He's giving their commission. And all of a sudden, what happens? Listen to these words in Acts chapter 1, verse 9. It says, "And when he had said these things," he had talked to his disciples, right? "And they were looking on." I want you to listen to the language that Luke, the writer of Acts, is using here. He says, "He was lifted up on a," let me hear you say it, "a cloud." Now I want you to catch this morning because this is important. He was taken up on a cloud. And the Jewish people understood this. They understood this language. They understood what was happening. When the early church read this, right, they understood. Because many, many, many thousands of years earlier, the nation of Israel was kept in bondage in Egypt. And what happened? They were delivered. God delivered them out of Egypt. Right? And what happened? They were led by the day by what? Come on now. There's a Bible study here, right? Get in a life group. They were led by day by a cloud, and at night by what? By fire. So why is this so important? Many days after Jesus ascended in a cloud, in other words, he says this, "I am going to heaven. I'm about to complete a story that began many, many, many years ago." And by the way, I'm not just going up here to get a better view of you. I am ascending in a cloud, and you are going to go and wait because I am sending the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came upon the people in the upper room, what did it look like? It says, a tongues of fire. So what's happening? Jesus is finishing a story that he started. This is why the ascension is vital. He did not just leave the earth. He did not say, "Okay, I've done what I've had to do. I've died. I've been resurrected. Great, believe in me." That his story is not over. His story that he started was completed, but he is still continuing the work here upon the earth because he went to his throne. Have you ever seen the movie Gladiator? Anybody ever seen that movie? All right, some of that was kind of rated R. It was. I like the TV version. TV version is much better. Watch the TV version. All right. When the emperor dies, his son takes over. And he comes back into Rome. And the picture that we see, and I want you to visualize this, that we see is all these steps. And when he pulled into the city and got out of his chariot, he walked up these steps. Where was he walking to? Walking to his throne. And it was at that place where he was going to rule over his kingdom. You see, Jesus Christ ascended. He went up into heaven in a cloud, the same way that Israel was led through the desert place, catch this now, into a cloud, into his throne. So Jesus Christ is sitting on his throne. He is the ruler of this kingdom. And guess what? We are part of this kingdom. So when you pray, and you pray in Jesus' name, remember this, he is standing there at the right hand of the Father, and his word says that he is constantly interceding on our behalf. Did you catch that? If you can get that in your heart, that Jesus is the king, he's the ruler of our kingdom here upon this earth. He is the ruler. And we're praying, we are praying to not only God, the Son of God, we're praying through the King, interceding for you and interceding for me. And Daniel, I want to read this, and Jonathan, you can come. We'll close with this today. Daniel, we read a vision that he has. Now, think about where Daniel was. There's all of these stories. As we preach and teach, all of these stories, right, they've got a common thread. Let me tell you what that common thread is. And if you don't catch anything else today, I want you to catch this. Man, humanity was placed upon this earth. Sin came in. We allowed sin to come into the earth. You understand that? And God says, I love them so much. I am going to start now. Even though God kicked Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. In other words, we allow sin in, and we face the consequences for that sin. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth of the flesh shall reap corruption, but he that soweth of the Spirit shall reap eternal life in God through Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ was there from the very beginning, as we looked at last week. And that thread that runs through the entire Bible that we read, that every step of the way, God has been showing people along the way, this is what I am doing. This is who I am. Jesus Christ is coming to the earth. And we've been had thousands of years to catch this. And Daniel, listen, Daniel served in the king's palace. He knew the ways of the king. He was there. He watched the king. But yet he says these words in Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. He says this, and then you know who he's talking about. He says, I saw in the night visions. Mary had a vision too. Mary had said the angel appeared to her. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man. Who is he talking about? Jesus Christ. I recently just described how we may have been able to get our minds wrapped around the coming of the Messiah. Guess what? One day, he will come back like that. He will show himself in power and might when he comes back in the clouds of glory. And he came to the Ancient of Days, and he was presented before him. And to him was given, listen to this now, dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, all nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away. And his kingdom, listen now, his kingdom is one that shall not be destroyed. You and I are part of that kingdom. I want you to listen to those questions, talk about those questions this week. Defend your faith. Because God knew about you before the foundations of the earth was laid. And that story of the redemptive power of Jesus Christ, the redemption of man from the very beginning, was for you. Every single one of you. It was personal. Do you understand what that means? It means that God knows you personally. His redemption was for you. And if you can put yourself at that place and know that the threads of that tapestry that has been woven out through history, He was given for you. That's why it is important for us to know who He is. He is a loving and a just God who sent His Son, Jesus Christ. And if you believe that, right? If you believe that, then you're part of that kingdom. Believe that Jesus came from the Virgin, born in a little place in the middle of an outpost of an empire. He walked upon this earth. He was tempted but did not sin. He went to the cross for you personally. He died. You hear me, church? He died but was resurrected again on the third day. It says He ascended into heaven on a cloud, interceding for you, each one of you, to the Father. That's powerful. And if you can get that in your heart and not just say, well, I believe it. I mean, really believe it. Make it part of who you are. If you can get that deep in your heart and believe it, it will change the way you pray. What's going to happen now is you begin to pray. Oh, I've got a need. Father, you know how we learn to pray, right? First thing we do is, Father, what are you doing in my life today? What are you doing in my life here upon this kingdom that you established from the very foundations of the world? What are you doing in my life, and how can I be part of that? And Lord, I come to you now that I have a need. And I know that you're a great, you're a mighty God. I know that you meet every single need. And when you pray, you know you're praying through Jesus Christ, who is standing at the right hand of the Father. And He is looking at the Father and saying, I want you to look down, Father. Look at that person praying. There Joe is, he's praying. He's praying to you, and I hear his prayers. He's a good man. His heart is in the right place. He is serving you. He's made some mistakes, but I have washed him clean. Hear his prayers, God. Answer those prayers. That is what Jesus is doing for us. And He is a ruler who's ruling from His throne over this kingdom. That is powerful. You want to have power as a believer of Christ? Get that in your heart. Make that the foundation of your faith. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to pray for you. And I want to pray for our nation. I have had many conversations in the last 2 months from people who call themselves followers of Jesus Christ, asking me to explain these questions we talked about this morning. And they're having a hard time believing it because they're trying to rationalize God. In other words, what's happening is there in our churches, there's a teaching in our churches about everything that is good. God is good. But this is going to be your best day. Everything is going to work out. Absolutely, I believe that. But I also know that when I walk out that door, I'm walking into a world where Jesus says, you're going to find trouble. As my daddy would say it. Son, you're going to find trouble. It's out there waiting. It's in the parking lot, standing by your car, waiting on you to come out there. Don't say that, Pastor. I don't believe it. Don't say it. Don't say it. We live in a world where there's trouble. But take heart. Jesus says, I am come to overcome. He's overcome the world. And I try to answer these questions according to the truth of God's word. And I tell you, I have been getting this back at me. The last 2 months, I have not faced as much opposition to truth than I have in my entire 46 years, my entire 20 plus years of ministering. This is the greatest ever. The reason why I believe, listen to these words, there is coming an outpouring of the Holy Spirit like we have not seen in a long time. When I go and pray, I believe it in my heart. As I pray, he's going to pour his spirit out upon us, his sons and his daughters. And the devil says, I don't want it to happen. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to convince people this stuff is not true. Because what happens is we begin to build this box and we put God inside the box and say, this is who God is. This is who I want you to be. Because if you step out of this box, you're going to make me uncomfortable. Guess what? It's okay to be uncomfortable. Because when we get a little uncomfortable, guess who we're going to call upon? The Ancient of Days, Jehovah, Yahweh, Jesus Christ. That's the one we're going to call upon. So my prayer for us as a church this morning is to prepare our hearts, establish the foundations that we stand upon, our faith, and knowing who we are and who Jesus Christ is, so that it will help us to gain the power we need when we pray, knowing that nothing, nothing is impossible with God. It is not by chance. The song sung this morning, the Holy Spirit orchestrated all of that. The word that was given, the Holy Spirit orchestrated every bit of that. God is real. Let me pray for you this morning. Pastor, you sound a little angry. I'm not angry, trust me. I'm filled with joy. I'm passionate though. And I want you to get that same passion, because when you get that same passion in your heart and you start actually believing the words you say, your life will change. Not saying trouble won't come, but your life will change. And how many of you want your life to change? I wake up every morning and say, God, change what you need to change in me. Lord, do what you got to do in me, because I don't want to be a pastor of a church if you're not working in me first. Let me pray for you. Father, would you just bow your heads for a moment? God, I'm so thankful for your word. And I'm so thankful, God, that you thought about me even before the foundations of the universe were laid. I am thankful that Jesus Christ has always been there. I am thankful that it takes me having a measure of faith to believe how the Messiah came into this world. I am thankful for your love. I am thankful that he died for me and was resurrected. And I am thankful, God, that he ascended with a cloud into heaven, that he sits beside you at your right hand, interceding for me. And God, he is doing that for all of us. And my prayer here today, that we would get into our hearts. Holy Spirit, work in our hearts this day. Even as we go home and we watch football today, God, you can work through the football game. Work in our hearts today, letting us know that you are always there and helping us to find the faith to believe that your word is true. It will change our life. And we want to be changed for your glory, because we are part of your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Love you. Just want you to know I love you. You have a blessed week. Make sure you're signing up for all the great things to sign up for. If you're new today, go see Pastor Steve in the back. Make sure you don't walk out that door without giving Maria some money, because she will hunt me down. God bless you. Have a great week.
Sometimes I think, what will people say of me when I'm only just a memory? When I'm home where my soul belongs, was I loved but no one else would show up? Was I Jesus to the least of us? Was my worship more than just a song?
There's got to be more than going back and forth, from doing right to doing wrong, cause we were taught that's who we are. Well, come on, get in line right behind me, you along with everybody, thinking there's worth in what you do. Then like a hero who takes the stage, when we're on the edge of our seat, saying it's too late. Let me introduce you to Amazing Grace. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is a cross has made, the cross has made you flawless.
The cross has made you flawless.
No matter the hurt or how deep the wound,
rich like this and wrap him up in righteousness. That's exactly what he did. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is the cross has made. The cross has made you flawless. The cross has made you flawless. No matter the hurt or how deep the wound is, no matter the pain, still the truth is the cross has made. The cross has made you flawless. Oh yeah. Take a breath, smile and say it right here. Let me introduce you to grace, grace, God's grace. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is the cross has made. The cross has made you flawless. Has made you flawless. And no matter the hurt or how deep the wound is, no matter the pain, still the truth is the cross has made. The cross has made you flawless. The cross has made you flawless. No matter what they say or what you think you are, the day you call his name, he made you flawless. He made you flawless.
No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is the cross has made. The cross has made you flawless.
time.